to warfare, and he said, look, he said, I want you to go back to the basics. He said, you've been talking about different individual things about spiritual warfare, but I want you to go back to the basics. Some people don't even understand what I'm saying when I do spiritual warfare. So today I want to talk to you about the basics of what I mean and what is meant by spiritual warfare. Amen? If you're a note taker, I want you to take notes. I got several points I'm going to give you, and you'll be able to remember them by those points, okay? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and verse number 12 to begin with. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, and then we're going to pray after that. Amen. If you're normally not a note taker and you need pens and paper, raise your hand and maybe my girl Friday can run and get you some. Yeah. Okay. Somebody needs a pen here, I heard.
Here, I'll use one. I got extra.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, very simple verse, but tells you a lot of things. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What's flesh and blood?
Us
people, right? People? Okay. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. All four of those are in the heavenly places. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Lord, let me be obedient to your request and talk about the basics, the fundamentals of spiritual warfare. We all need to know this, Lord. We all need to be enlightened by your truth. So, Lord, shed your truth on us today. Share it with us, Lord. And let us come out of this thing, these things that keep us so downtrodden and beat up. We're sick of them, Lord. So help us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Use me as your vessel, Lord. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There once was a boxer. Let me get my water here a minute first. There once was a boxer who was being tore up in the ring by his opponent. Blow after blow, his adversary left him with a bloody nose, swollen eyes, and an enormous amount of pain. I hope none of you ladies ever been that way, but some of us guys have, right? We know what they're talking about. The battered boxer's trainer, trying to encourage the man, in between rounds, he kept telling him, you're doing great, Fred. That bum is barely touching you. To which the boxer responded, then you better keep an eye on that referee because somebody's killing me. No amount of smooth talk could camouflage the reality of the bloody battle in which this fighter was engaged. Psychologically correct talk and personal encouragement could not mask the pain he was suffering. In the same way, you and I are engaged in a real battle, one of cosmic proportions. We know we are facing a real opponent because this world bears the bloody, painful scars of this conflict, war among nations, shattered lives, broken homes, suicide, rape, abuse, and immorality of every kind. My goal this morning is to help us understand that this battle which you and I are engaged in is first and foremost the Lord's battle. Amen? Not ours. It's the Lord's battle. Only when we completely understand this fact will we be able to wage a victorious spiritual warfare. So let me make this declaration to you. You and I are at war. You and I are at war. That's a statement of fact. In reality, most of us are engaged right now, and it could be the mother of all battles. In our mind, no war in history can compare with the battle that you and I are presently waging. It can be either the cause of your greatest joy as a Christian when you experience one of God's miracles, or it may be your deepest pain when no relief is apparent. The war I'm referring to is that spiritual warfare in which you were automatically enlisted the day you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Every area of your life is affected by such a warfare. And there's no way you can avoid the conflict. No way. There's no bunker or foxhole you can climb into that will shield you, because this encounter is between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. Listen, folks, many Christians are not even aware they're at war. Many Christians are not even aware they're at war. And yet their lives show the results of the assault. They have become casualties. Discouragement, depression, dejection, defeat describe their life. Others experience casualties in marriage and family. Divorce, conflict, and abuse are just a few of the battle scars those believers bear. Even sickness came into the world because of Adam's sin. We have major battles concerning our health. And since we are at war, and since there is so much at stake both here on earth and eternity, we better find out what spiritual warfare is and how to fight the battle successfully. Amen? That's why I've talked about it for the last few weeks. Today, I want to go back to the basics so we're all on the same page. And let me begin by stating something very obvious. The essence of this war that rages around us is spiritual. It's spiritual. A definition of spiritual warfare is as follows. Spiritual warfare is a conflict being waged in the invisible spiritual realm, and yet it is being manifested in the visible physical realm. Let me repeat that for you. Spiritual warfare is a conflict being waged in the invisible spiritual realm, and yet it is being manifested in the visible physical realm. In other words, spiritual warfare is a battle between invisible angelic forces that affect you and me, even though the reason for the war is something you and I don't see. We don't see it. It's difficult to fight an enemy that you can see, but even harder to fight one you can't see. In his classic statement on spiritual warfare, Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the scripture we've already read. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." This verse identifies the enemy, Satan, in four divisions or levels of demons. Each division with a different assigned duty. We'll develop all of this as we go along, but the point I want to make to you, for you to see here, is that we make a terrible mistake if we believe that people are the real problem. We make a terrible mistake if we believe people are the real problem. People can act badly, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But as bad as people can be, they are merely conduits for those who instigate the fight. Satan has been successful in this deception. He gets us into conflict with people so that we're unaware of what is actually causing people to behave the way they do. Haven't you ever tried to change the behavior of another person? Saints, it's not the person. It's not the person. We must understand that what happens through people always has its roots in something much more devious. Amen. People are still responsible for the wrongs they commit. There's no doubt about that. But you and I must recognize that the spiritual influence is evil. Evil. Speaking of that, I can't believe they got a TV show on called Evil. I hope no one's watching it. And it goes away in 6 weeks.
They also have one, I think it's either Netflix or Prime, called Lucifer.
Now, let me give you the foundational principle for spiritual warfare. This is the foundational principle for spiritual warfare. Every problem we see in the visible, physical realm, is either caused or provoked or at least influenced by something in the invisible spiritual realm. Every problem we see in the visible, physical realm is caused or provoked or at least influenced by something in the invisible spiritual realm. To understand this principle, you must realize that society deals with two world views. Two world views. A world view is simply the lens through which you perceive reality. And praise God, there are only two categories of world views. Amen? The first one is a natural or materialistic world view. People refer to this as the scientific world view, which believes that man can understand the operation of the world by using his intelligence and reason. People who hold and seek this view seek life's answers through the natural realm. They want God's answers to be seen in the natural realm. If you can put it in a test tube, examine it under a microscope, or explain it through natural processes, that's all you need. However, the naturalistic view is not sufficient because it is limited to the physical realm. Amen? Therefore, it doesn't answer the ultimate questions: who you are, where you came from, and why are you here? In addition, the naturalistic worldview doesn't explain the unexplainable, like why teenagers are killing each other. Amen? Or why the moral standards of mankind are being eroded. You can't explain it with that worldview. This naturalistic view does not address the invisible part of human beings, the soul and the spirit. The second category of worldview is the spiritual worldview, which believes that there is a realm outside of the physical that highly influences the natural. Amen? This simple definition should be every Christian's viewpoint of the world. The spiritual worldview has recently become even more popular, but unfortunately it's not often biblically based. Instead, it is a devil-inspired again, man-centered view. This type of spiritual worldview I just mentioned is one of horoscopes, palm readers, sordid New Age teaching. Obviously, this is not the worldview of the Bible. Amen? So it is possible to have a spiritual worldview that is plugged into the wrong spirit. Please understand, your worldview does affect your approach to spiritual warfare. And in order to understand spiritual warfare, we have to address it through the lens of the Spirit and always with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Always with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, even though the battle we're talking about is spiritual in nature, it still has very definite effects in the visible physical realm. You know you're in a battle when you get shot and start bleeding, right? We see the bleeding in a different way, but it's occurring today as well. It's the result of spiritual warfare in at least four areas of life. Okay, I'm going to give you these four areas of life. Number one, initially this battle affects your personal life. It affects your personal life. Many believers have experienced the personal wounds of spiritual warfare. This doesn't mean the believer is involved in anything evil. Now listen to me good. On the contrary, it could be the result of many different things, including a zealousness for God's kingdom. King David was in the middle of God's will, but King Saul tried everything he could do to kill him. Amen? Paul, a man who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, died in prison. He was in the middle of God's will. He was doing wonderful things for God, but the war was still going on, right? However, being attacked could mean we are involved in something we're doing wrong. Let's consider for a moment that someone has a problem with uncontrolled anger. Uncontrolled anger. Our emotions can easily give the devil an edge. To see the relationship between your emotions and spiritual warfare, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. It says, "Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Give place to the devil. Now, please notice that failing to control anger grants the devil an opportunity to get a foothold in your life. Then he can use your anger as a base of operations. He can launch more spiritual attacks against you. Many Christians are suffering today because of anger or other emotions that have never, never healed. Do you hear me, folks? If Satan can seize our emotions, he can destroy our ability to function by crippling us emotionally or leading us into all manner of destructive and addictive behavior. No limit. Number two, this battle also affects your family. This battle also affects your family. Many believers are feeling these effects of spiritual warfare in their families. The devil wreaked havoc in the first family in the Garden of Eden. Undoubtedly, we've been dealing with the results of Adam and Eve's sin ever since. Now, let me give you an example of family relationships and spiritual warfare. Paul wrote to husbands and wives in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. Husband and wives in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 5. He said, "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, I'm going to say this as delicately as I can. Paul is saying that when a husband and wife don't have a fulfilling sexual relationship, which is usually the result of one or the other living for self, the devil sees that as a restraint, sees that restraint as an opportunity to move in and bring moral depravity to the family. No spiritual warfare can affect every aspect of daily living, but it can change so much that will affect every area of family living. Number three, the battle affects your spiritual life. Spiritual warfare also has an impact on your church and devotional life. Paul told Timothy in chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." The church is being undermined in many places today, folks, by those who claim to teach the Bible but are actually teaching doctrines from hell. Anyone can quote the Bible. Satan even does it. But we need to be like the Bereans. The Bereans confirmed what Paul and Silas were teaching them by studying the Scriptures, by looking at the words of Scriptures. In Acts 17 and verse 11, it tells about them. It said these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And number four, this battle affects our culture. Finally, spiritual warfare affects the life of a nation, the culture we live in. According to passages like Daniel chapter 10, entire nations are influenced by the invisible battle in the angelic realm. In Ephesians 2:2, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air with good reason. Good reason. Our nation is going through a spiritual battle right now as we're speaking. Now, folks, there's no place we can go to escape the effect of spiritual warfare. We must be equipped to fight, however. Our ability to operate in the spiritual realm will determine whether we win or lose in the physical realm. Amen. Satan's purpose is to manipulate us so that we actually ignore the spiritual realm or give it little value or perhaps no consideration at all. Because if he can divert us from the spiritual realm, he can divert us from finding spiritual solutions. Excuse me. So where in the universe is this great battle we call spiritual warfare being fought? Paul tells us that in Ephesians 6:12, in heavenly places, which means the spiritual realm. In the Bible, the word heaven describes three levels of existence. Three levels. The first heaven is the atmosphere that surrounds the earth, the environment in which we live. The second heaven is the we commonly refer to as outer space, the heavens where stars and planets exist. And the third heaven is the throne room of God, a place we automatically consider when we hear the word heaven. Paul testified that he was caught up to the third heaven, and he saw some wonderful things. It is this heaven that the Bible has most to say about. Amen. In the book of Ephesians alone, we find numerous references to heavenly places, in addition to the reference in chapter 6 and verse 12 that we just read. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it tells us this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, this verse confirms that God resides in heavenly places. Amen? Along with all of our spiritual blessings. They're all in heavenly places. And realize that if you're engaged in spiritual battle and you need help, your help comes from God the Father, who is in heavenly places. Amen? But if you don't have access to those heavenly places, you won't receive heavenly help to succeed in the battle in the earthly place. Are you with me? According to Ephesians 1:20, when God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He seated His Son at His right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, so now we have the Father and we have the Son in heavenly places. Okay, then in Ephesians 2:6, it says that God also raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you getting something here? Your spirit ties to that heavenly place, folks. Amen. And I'm sorry to say that in Ephesians 3:10, it tells us that principalities and powers are also there. They're also in those heavenly places. Amen? And folks, why is it important for spiritual warfare? Why is this important for spiritual warfare? Because it takes an angel to beat an angel. Takes an angel to beat an angel. Remember in Ephesians 6:12, Satan and his demons are also in heavenly places. Woo! Revelation chapter 12 depicts a day when the invisible warfare in heavenly places will break out in a very visible form. Very visible. Verse 7 shows this conflict. It says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. The archangel Michael and the holy angels are fighting Satan and the angels who rebelled with him. The battle's completely angelic. Now, what's the enemy's goal? Please get this. Please get this. In fact, tell God, I'm going to watch my mouth from this point on. What's the enemy's goal? Why the constant battle? We are surrounded by our spiritual enemy, but the battle is not for land or anything physical. This battle is for glory. This battle is for glory. The issue is who will receive glory in the universe? Who will receive glory in the universe? Who is it that's going to be worshiped? Let me share a couple things from the book of Jerry. Satan probably said to God, you cannot have all the glory in creation. I want some of the glory for myself. Then God's response is found in Isaiah 48, verse 11, and it says, and I will not give my glory to another. I will not give my glory to another. And then again from the book of Jerry. So Satan responded, and if you're not going to share the glory with me, then it's war. Then it's war. And when I'm fighting your people, they will give me the glory. Brothers and sisters, the battle is for the glory. For the throne of heaven. Praise the Lord, the outcome has never been in doubt. Never been in doubt. However, the battle continues to rage every day in our personal lives, our family, our church, our community. And as we decide, we choose who gets the glory. We choose who gets the glory. And how we decide who get, how do we decide who gets the glory? By what we say and what we do. By what we say and what we do. Who are we believing? Who are we giving our attention to? If we give our attention to that problem, and we're talking like, woe is me, gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery, if I had no bad luck, I'd have no luck at all, gloom, despair, and agony on me. If we talk like that, come on. Who are we giving glory to? The devil. The problem may be bad, folks. I ain't questioning that. I'm not questioning that. Take that ain't out of there. We talked about that last week. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, whatever you do, what does that mean?
Everything
you do. Everything you do. Do it all for the glory of God.
Amen.
All right. The devil has, and I'm not giving him glory this morning, amen? I'm trying to educate, trying to teach, trying to share some plain old knowledge. Enemy has a well-developed strategy. So what's his battle plan? Paul outlined the strategy of our enemy in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan's battle plan is simple. He's out to deceive us, to trick us, to manipulate us into accepting his lies and succumbing to the temptation to give him glory. Been the devil's plan for countless years, and he's a master at it. Paul even said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, he said, Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. Oh, I want to buddy up with him. Now, let's look quickly. I'm trying to hurry, folks. Let's look quickly at five tactics Satan uses against unsuspected people. You need more paper? Number one, he blinds the minds of believers. Number one, he blinds the minds of believers. Perhaps you're here today and you actually don't believe God's real. Nor do you accept anything I have said as being true. Satan's blinding your mind to the truth. Simple as that. Everyone here knows somebody that's like that for sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The devil will try anything and everything to mask the truth and pervert you from receiving the message of the gospel. He'll try anything. Number two, he steals God's word from you. He steals God's word from you. Have you ever felt like God was speaking to you through his word and the next day it has completely slipped your mind? Am I the only true, only one in here? Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, then the wicked one comes, snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. As soon as God gives us a specific word, Satan seizes it, robbing us from the wisdom, encouragement, comfort, peace, or blessing that the word has intended to bring. Number three, he sets traps to ensnare you. He sets traps to ensnare you. Have you ever had a problem with a rodent in your attic, say a squirrel?
Oh boy.
Some of you have. It's necessary to set the appropriate trap to capture it, right? Amen. I remember my dad one time used a shotgun to capture it. Trap didn't work. Well, you have an enemy who's setting traps, and guess what? You're the squirrel. I could have called you a lot of other things here. You folks ought to be happy I called you a squirrel. You're welcome, Joe. If you have an area of weakness in your life, folks, if you have an area of weakness in your life, especially one from which you're trying to free yourself, please understand that Satan works hard to keep control of you. He doesn't want to lose your edge. If you can be tempted in some way, you will be tempted in that way, folks. Consequently, in your weakness, he will come at just the right moment. Just the right moment to snare you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 through 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare or trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, how Satan blinds our minds and steals God's word to trap us into destructive lifestyles? Yeah. Amen. Number four, he fights to stop you. He fights to stop you. Have you ever read the word or heard a teaching that prompted you to respond to its urging and make some changes? For instance, a word comes to you concerning your finances. You know you must get out of debt, so you decide you're going to start tithing. What happens? The next day, car breaks down, and it requires major repairs. You become discouraged and then refuse to act on the word that God spoke to you. You hear me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. But Satan hindered us. Folks, don't be deceived. Satan continually fights against us to hinder the work of God in our lives. Amen.
Can you repeat 1 Thessalonians?
1 Thessalonians 2:18.
Thank you.
Number five, he plans to destroy you. He plans to destroy you. He focuses his attention on our weaknesses so he can devour you. Nothing pleases him more than to destroy your marriage, your families, your finances, your health, your success, and even your walk with God. What you see in the natural, with this natural old eye, is not all there is, folks. Not all there is. It's a spiritual battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, between God and Satan, between good and evil. Okay, Brother Jerry, I'm convinced. I'm in a spiritual battle, I'm convinced. But how do I become engaged in the warfare so that I enjoy the victory God has provided? How do I do it? What's the answer? Back to Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That is a whole series of preaching messages right there. The fiery darts of the enemy. And folks, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Okay, let's break this down. Number one, we strap on the belt of truth. Are you still with me? You need to stand up, take a break here? I'm almost done. The belt of truth sets us free from Satan, the liar, the father of lies. Satan can do nothing but lie and deceive. You're putting on the belt of truth. Amen? Truth is only found in the Word of God, folks. It's only found in the Word of God, and it's buckled around your waist, and it holds all your armor together. The truth holds all your armor together, and including your weapon, it's secured to this belt of truth. Amen? Your weapon, and this belt enables you to run into battle. To run into battle with every part of your gear secured in place. Hallelujah. Number two, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness protects your heart. We are not righteous because we've done everything right. No way is that possible. So no one is righteous. The Bible says our righteousness is but filthy rags. Righteousness is found in us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The breastplate of righteousness reminds us that we have been made righteous through the righteousness of God's Son, through our acceptance of Him as our Savior and Lord. Thus the Father sees us then as righteous, sees us through Jesus' work. Number three, your shoes are ready to carry the gospel of peace. Your shoes are ready to carry the gospel of peace. Your feet are planted in the peace of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. A supernatural peace which is beyond all human reasoning. I don't know why I'm in peace. You can experience a serenity while others around you are in turmoil. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of the gospel. Amen. Your feet can be ready to take you anywhere at any time to share the gospel truth. Number four, we take up the shield of faith. Why do we have negative thoughts? The enemy comes to convince us that we are a failure. We will always be sick. We will probably lose our job. Our marriage cannot be saved. Our children are lost. We will always be broke. And on and on and on. That's when we hold up the shield of faith. Bonnie's going through the armor of God right now in Children's Church. Last week, I made her a shield of faith. And then the kids made one. This week, we made sandals. Ugly old sandals, but it made a point. Only so much you can do in an hour. So when the negative comes, we hold up the shield of faith. God's word fuels faith. It fuels faith, right? I will believe I am who Christ says I am. He says I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. He says greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. God has plans to bless you, prosper you, give you hope, and give you a future. God is working in all things to bring about good to those who are called according to his purposes. Those four verses right there will defeat the enemy's accusations every time. Number five, we put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. You are not saved because you are a good person. You're not saved by your works, but only by the grace of God that has been given to us. We believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Understand that your mind is protected through your salvation, and the enemy has no authority to snatch you from the Father's hand. Hallelujah. Your mind is also being renewed because it's in a protected environment. Thank you, Lord. Number six, sword of the Spirit. You and I should run headlong into battle with our weapon drawn. God gives us one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You must use that weapon. Last week, I think it was, I told you when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil came to him, everything the devil said, Jesus said, "It is written." And then he told him what was written. He used the Word of God to defeat everything. If you do not know God's Word, you can't yield the sword. You can't use the sword against the enemy. Amen? Number seven, pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit. As a believer, you have access to God Almighty. Any time of the day or night, he's available to you. Any time, day or night, he's available to you. Come on. I need more than that. Come on. Come on. Any time, day or night. You don't have to make an appointment.
Amen.
Amen. And it don't matter if Joe was talking to him. Joe can talk to him. I can talk to him at the same time.
Amen.
Is that amazing? He always waits for us to come to prayer. Now, that's our prayers. But I want you to listen to something. In spiritual warfare, the front of you is covered in armor, but your back is exposed. That's why it's so necessary to have other believers in your life. So necessary. You and I need others to be in prayer for us. When you're in a problem situation, you need others to be in prayer. You know, I don't know where all this junk came from, but it's been in America for a long time. I believe it's based in pride. But we don't like to tell people things.
Yeah.
Well, we'll share the victories, but we don't share the defeats. And folks, how do somebody pray if they don't know?
Right.
Especially when you got a little family like this. You're not showing any defeat. You're not showing anything wrong. There's not a person sitting in this room right here that can't have a problem tomorrow and need the prayers.
Today,
yeah. See, we get the idea that we don't want to share what bad is going on. But how do people pray for you? How is your back covered in spiritual warfare if someone isn't taking the time to pray for you? Come on. Simple, isn't it? It's so logical, we don't do it. So simple, we don't want to do it. Listen, my phone works. I'll pray for you. There are times I pray for all of us together and those kind of things. But folks, if I don't know your situation, I can't pray. I don't want to get after you. I'm trying to teach you something. Another thing people will do is hold you accountable, help correct whatever's wrong. You need to welcome others into your life. So now I want to finish this up, okay? Praise God. You do not fight for victory, you fight from victory. You're already victorious.
Yes.
He's already won the battle. Jesus has, which guarantees you will win the battle. 1 John 4, verse 4 says this, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Amen? Victory is assured. We don't know how long that'll be, what it will take. We don't know anything about that victory, folks, but it's guaranteed to you. Now, that's from God's perspective, not ours. It's guaranteed from God. But it may not be your shopping list, your specifications, your requirements. But you're going to have the victory. Isn't that what's important?
Yes.
Hallelujah. God, if you can't change the situation, change me. That's what happens a lot of times. Change me then. Okay. There's a battle to be fought, brothers and sisters. There's devil that wants you as the prize. So we deny him. I want you to shout with me. I will win.
I will win.
I will win. Come on. I will win.
I will win.
Amen. Amen. I want you to stand together. We're going to sing an old hymn. And if there's someone here that wants prayer this morning, I want you to come during this hymn. Stand up in front here, and I'll come pray for you as soon as we're done. All right? Are you with me? Everybody hear that? Amen. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle. See his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Second verse. Onward, Christian triumph, his host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, unto victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shouts of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud the anthems raise. So, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Third verse. Army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. One body we, one in heart. hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers. All right, fourth verse. May perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never. Did you read that, folks? Cannot fail. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you for this message, Lord. My heart, you prepared it. Lord, help us in these battles. Help us to give you glory, not the enemy, Lord. Let's not give him any feathers in his cap, Lord God. Let's take the cap away from him, Lord. Let victory be ours, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for this teaching this morning. And Lord, let it help each one of us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I lift Rosie to you. I ask for you.